This episode is brought to you by Mindful Coffee Company, a wholly owned subsidiary of Urban Sailor Coffee, located at 1327 East, 2100 South in Salt Lake City, Utah. Mindful Coffee Company is a locally owned micro roaster who believes in fresh roasted coffee beans in every single cup. They offer a variety of single origin and blended coffee beans while hand roasting every single bag. You can place your order online and have it shipped directly to your home by going to www.mindfulcoffeecompany.com. When ordering Mindful Coffee, please use the coupon code PODCAST to receive 20% off your next order. That's right, 20% off your next order when using the code PODCAST. Until the next coffee, my friends. Listening to the Tastemasters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, friends, awesome episode today. I am in the heart of Logan, Utah, which is weird. I think it's the furthest north episode I've ever been on, by the way. But I'm here with the owners of Prodigy Brewing. Friends, welcome to the show.
Thanks for coming to Logan.
Kristen, we have Kristen. So Kristen, what's your stance. Who are you in Prodigy Brewing?
I'm the doer of things, and my tagline in my email is certified beer drinker.
Certified beer drinker.
Yes.
Can I be one of those?
Absolutely. You just declare it, and that's how it works.
That's really cool. And then I'm assuming you're married to Jason.
Yes.
That's correct.
Jason, tell me about yourself. What's your part and role in Prodigy Brewing?
I'm a brewer, so following taglines, I liked that one a lot, so I stole a little bit of it from Kristen. I put on my tagline, brewmaster or brewer and beer drinker as well. So
brewer. Yeah. Is this one yours or mine?
That's yours.
You can double fist if you want, homie. And then we have Rob. Rob, who are you, GM, president?
No, I...
Janitor, bartender?
Just one of the owners. I actually live outside of Chicago.
Oh, really?
But I'm moving here September 1st. So Jason and I have been best friends since we were in kindergarten.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, so, you know, I do a lot of stuff remotely, you know, stuff that can be done on the computer, ordering stuff.
Yeah.
You know, compliance, you know, working with the TTB and stuff like that.
So, yeah.
You know, that's been my role until I actually get here and move.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Questions for you guys. So, Jason, tell me about who you are. I know you're the brewer. So how did you become a brewer? Did you start home brewing? Where's the story behind that?
I started, well, I'm actually a finance professor by day. So that's my day job up at Utah State.
Utah State?
Yeah.
So you're an Aggie.
I'm a finance and economics professor up at Utah State. And my first job out of grad school is at the University of Kentucky. And I moved there and it just so happened we had a liquor barn like a mile from our house. This is literally the size of a Home Depot. They advertise 7,000 different kinds of beer. They have alcohol everywhere. And Rob's like, we need to make beer. And I'm like, well, hell no, we don't need to make beer. There's a liquor barn right there. And this is back in 2006. So at this point in time, you couldn't even buy a really technical home system.
Yeah.
So Rob started fabricating, designing. You want to talk a little bit about that process?
Yeah. So, you know, it was the old way everybody did it. We went and got, you know, used outdated stainless steel kegs that we bought. And then we started welding in furrows, putting in valves. You know, I did a lot of research online on what it even took. I didn't even know what I had to do when I started.
Get out of here.
You know, so I just started reading about it and figured out how to put this thing together.
No way.
You know, it took 3 or 4 months to get it all together. But once
or
we
eight
did,
or nine.
I think my first comment when they said they were going to do this, I'm like, how do you even know you're good at it? Why are you doing all this work?
We've never made an extract beer.
Yeah.
No, so it was extract. The first one was extract.
No, never.
No, never.
We've been
never
all grain from the very beginning.
All grain from the get-go.
I was unsure.
Look at you guys.
I was unsure.
So, Kristen, how did it turn out? How did that first one turn out?
It was great. No, they did a bang-up job. Like the beers have just gotten better.
Yes. And I still wasn't bought in during that process. All I did with his design in the beginning was write my half of the check. I'm like, go do your thing. Here's half the money.
So, Rob, you tried to be the original founder brewer. Is what
there you go.
You know, I think the idea.
Yeah.
You know, he's got all the technical, you know, and he dives down that rabbit hole when it comes to chemistry and everything else, and he loves that side of it. I love the mechanical side.
Mm.
So, you know, putting it together, being down there now, messing with the brew house, getting the kinks out of it. You know, we struggled with the boiler for the past week, getting it fine-tuned and just working out the problems. I love that side of it.
Oh, so you know, guys
and
made
he can run
then,
down
huh?
that, the chemistry side and the science side.
Which is extremely important. That's like, I think the first, you know, 80, 90% of making the beer, it can be done easily. But that last, you know, 10, 15, 20% is like, that's the fine tuning. And that's where lab work really comes in and just all about that chemistry.
I always like to say that it's pretty easy to make a good beer. It's really difficult to make a good beer the same every time that has some longevity to it.
I like that. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this guy. Who'd you marry?
Smart. I know,
God
right?
Damn, Kristen spoiled. Yeah. So now we know you guys have homebrewers started. How long ago was homebrewing? When was the first time you guys did this?
It would have been either the fall of 2006 or the spring of 2007.
So you quite some time then.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you guys. I love that. And then you guys are childhood friends. What you said? Men kindergarten. You said
kindergarten.
Wow. And you guys still like each other.
Still.
We haven't killed each other yet.
Yeah, it's a key word, he said.
We never know.
We've had our disagreements, you know, Ben, you know, working down in our cellar. You know, whenever I come into town, he's like, you two are like a married couple. He goes, every time you come in town, Rob, I forget how you guys are around each other. But we bicker back and forth, but it's never in any bad way. Sure. You know, it's just, this is the way we figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, Kristen, I mean, how do you think about them as being a married couple?
It's true. True story.
I love this.
Yeah.
It makes me so happy. So then you guys ever enter into home brewing? Did you guys ever enter into a competition? Did you ever try to push that? Any awards, any accolades from home brewing?
Or just did it for fun? I probably should have. I just did it for fun.
Yeah.
I never joined the home brewing club in Kentucky or haven't joined the home brewing club here. We plan to be active with them, but it's a miss on my part. I just did my own thing.
So you went to Kentucky. How long were you in Kentucky for?
6 years.
And then you came back at the Logan. When did that happen?
2012, 10 years ago.
Yeah, we've been here for 10 years.
So what brought you back to Logan, Utah? I mean, now that sounds kind of discerning, but...
brought us to Logan, Utah for the first time ever.
Oh. We're not Utahns by
So
nature.
You guys are from Kentucky.
No, yeah. I'm from Illinois. Jason and Robert from Indiana.
Oh, shit.
Jason and I met at Purdue. In college, and so we've kind of been...
No wonder you kept the boiler.
Right.
Oh, I see you guys.
I love that.
Yeah. You got it.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. I see your game plan.
So we've lived in a bunch of places. Oh, Indiana, and Missouri, Kentucky.
I had my first professor job at the University of Kentucky, and I was a little late on one publication. It was time to leave. I had to go somewhere. So I was looking around, and we had always vacationed out in the mountains, Utah, Jackson, Colorado. So I started looking at places that had a good finance department and mountains. So
and Utah
Logan,
State.
Utah was the fit. Yeah, and we packed up and moved here.
So I've lived in Utah most of my life. Okay. So how I see it is north of Salt Lake is Idaho. It's just, south of where I live is just nothing until St. George. Just, right?
Fair.
So I don't think of, when I think Logan, I go, fuck, that's in Idaho. Like, it's basically way up there, right? So how many times did you guys travel to Salt Lake and hang out in Salt Lake? Is it the complete opposite? What's your guys' thought on that? It's like, oh, Logan's home base.
Well, our daughter's at the University of Utah, so.
You must be going to
Salt Lake.
That
takes us to Salt Lake quite often.
Okay, so compare, in your guys' mind, being Loganites, what does Salt Lake differ from Logan?
Oh.
Is that a good oh or a bad oh?
No, it's a good oh. It's just.
Or, and bad.
And bad. I don't know. You know, it's, I don't know. Salt Lake feels more like what I am used to living in the Midwest.
Okay.
A little more, there's a lot more going on.
More hustle
and
bustle.
There's a more hustle and bustle. I like a good, I mean, this is weird to say, but I like a good traffic jam. Like,
that's weird, Kristen.
You don't get that here.
She's very weird.
I'm weird. But
I have a Prius
do like
and I hate
it.
That.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, well,
But I have learned to love Logan. I love Logan.
So if you had your choice, Jason, I'm just looking at Kristen right now. Yeah. Would you live in Salt Lake or Logan?
I'd live in Salt Lake.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And Jason, same question.
Logan, for sure.
Wow.
Logan, for sure.
So let's just go like down a full, like somewhere right in the middle. Just kind of.
I mean, Ogden's pretty cool. So
Ogden
we could split the difference.
Yeah. So then speaking of Ogden, you guys have been to Ogden many times.
Yes.
And you guys have talked to some of the brewers and breweries from there. What's some of the breweries that pop out to you guys in Ogden?
Well, the Ogden brew scene is really evolving and growing rapidly. It's exciting to see. Just with being busy and all, I just had the connection with Carson Foss at UTOG.
Good cat.
Given that we also are using Portland Kettleworks equipment. So I haven't really reached out to any of the others there, but Carson's been a trusted confidant throughout this entire process. Anytime me or Rob need anything answered about his process or what he does, he's always just right there, ready to help and participate and provide us any guidance
he can. He's a really good guy. Carson has made this community much better place, and so the fact that he's helping you guys is huge. And then Brett, who's brewing down there, basically the main brewer down there, Brett's killing it.
I've went down there a couple days to work with Brett and the equipment.
That cat is cool.
Amazing beers.
Right, and UTOG keeps getting cooler and cooler, and they have a great marketing team. Shout out to that marketing team. And UTOG is, to me, I just fangirl about
So UTOG. We hung out with UTOG in Denver at the CBC, and we got to know Jazz and Anna and Brent.
Yeah, they're Carson, a cool team. They have a good team.
So amazing.
With that being said, and I know you probably have this in the works, but when it comes to Prodigy, you guys need to have that same team feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could feel that, right? When you go to UTOG, you're like, okay, there's something about you guys. What's going on? Why do you guys all like each other? But it's that same relationship you have, you know?
I think we have that built in already. We already have our management team in place, and they've been in place for months.
Good.
And they've been helping
build. Thanks to construction delays.
Everything. So they've been working so close together, and even things that are outside their job descriptions.
Cool.
You know, we had our head chef down in the brew house. Him and I were putting all the iron pipe together for the boiler system. We're down underneath there, and, you know, he's learning how to do it.
I love
you
that.
Know, and he's just like, I'll do whatever it takes.
That's
you
cool.
You know, so everybody is really bonded.
Our GM is building our hostess stand and our merch displays. I mean, like, All of our guys are so good. Ben's here on a Sunday working. We didn't ask him to.
Because he didn't want to go to church. That's why. That's straight reason.
You will not find him in church anytime, any place, for any reason.
But we came in and he was like, what are you guys doing here? I'm like, what are you doing here? This is not Sunday.
Oh, yeah, he did say that. We walked in. Yeah. What the fuck are you guys doing here?
So, yeah, they're amazing. We didn't ask.
Yeah,
he's just here.
I mean, it's just like Ben downstairs right now. He's finishing up the glycol, and it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
He didn't even tell us he was coming in.
Yeah, he's just passionate.
He just got up and
the passion's
came
here.
In and did it himself.
I love it.
You know?
Because you guys, when you guys were giving me the tour earlier today, it's the fact that you guys have this vision and you guys are just, you're gung-ho and you guys are ready to have this going. And I cannot wait to see pints moving, food moving, people walking. Like, I'm excited for that noise. It's too quiet in here right now, guys. I'm just saying that.
Sure.
Right?
I agree.
But when you get that noise, oh, man, it's going to be tickling me.
Yeah.
So tell me when you guys are opening, because I'm fucking here. Right? I'm bringing the wife all the way to Logan.
For sure.
And we'll be here. Because I'm south of Salt Lake. I'm in no man's land, right? Because people in Salt Lake think after Draper is that point of the mountain, and it's just Provo. That's all. It's just Provo. That's all it is. So I live in just Provo, I guess. But then... thinking about beers, you guys will be the first brewery in Logan, Utah. Is that correct?
Correct.
That as far is
correct.
As we know.
Okay. All of Cache Valley, actually.
I didn't know that. Cache Valley, huh? And then I have this feeling it was an uphill battle to bring a brewery into it. I'm going to take this on a whim, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is this a very religious town?
Fairly religious, yes.
You would be surprised. So Cache Valley, I would put overall is right behind like a Provo as far as religion.
Okay.
But Logan itself is not quite in that box.
Yeah.
So, but Cache Valley is probably 120,000 people and Logan's maybe 50,000.
Okay. Is that because of the Utah State, the university that kind of brings that diversity
maybe,
here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Logan's got its own vibe, its own heartbeat. It's a unique, interesting place, and it certainly doesn't fit into a box like a lot of other places in Utah.
Right. So what was that? Was it a battle to bring a brewery, a beer drinking place into in my mind, a non-beer drinking place?
I mean, so part of it was when we moved here, I mean, it's shocking to be in a town this size and not have a brew pub.
Mm.
Especially
on the East, the Midwest.
100,000 person community has at least, three or four brew pubs, right?
Yeah,
minimum.
So it was weird. And then we just heard lots of rumors. Such and such brewery tried to come in, they got shut down. Somebody tried to, you know, go into the city and say they wanted a brew pub and they got shut down. But that's just not all true. Not true at all. Yeah.
We had an article written about us about a year ago. And in the comments section, someone said, I guarantee you they won't be brewing on site there. And I was like, well, I'll take
Damn.
That bet.
Can we pull that article up and re-comment that? Right. I would love to. As a taste match, I would love to be like, where you at now, homie?
Yeah.
I'd love to say that because I love proving doubters wrong.
Yeah.
Because I have this thing where I don't care what people do. Just don't be an asshole. Yeah. But like, if you have a vision, go for it. Prove me wrong. But again, I'm not going to. Just do it. Because I want people, passionate people doing what they love.
So they have zoning, like the city already had zoning for a brew pub. So we just had to find a space within the city of Logan. The mayor is super supportive of a brew pub. She's religious. A non-drinker. She said, I'm going to come eat your food. I'm going to come have a burger, but I'm not going to be drinking, which is super cool. And we want lots of people to come do that here too. But I thought we'd have to go in front of city council and I thought we'd have to petition.
Plead your case. Like, we're not alcoholics. We just need
We didn't do any of that. We just wrote our application, paid our $300 and got a conditional permit.
They do have brew pubs restricted to a small section of downtown currently. I think that'll change pretty rapidly. So, you know, given that there's a tabernacle and other religious places and parks downtown, there's not a lot of available buildings that actually fit the bill.
I was driving down Main Street. There's a tabernacle right there. You guys are fairly close. How'd you guys score that deal?
So that's a story in and of itself. So that was a little bit of a little bit of a hassle there. The first thing we did is find out how they decide the boundary of a religious institution. And it is the boundary that's at the edge of the plot, and it's 200 feet as a crow flies, 300 feet as a typical person would walk. So the first thing we did is Rob and I got with the building owner, Tony Johnson, and got a wheel out, and we walked it, and we got something like 306 feet. So we submitted our local consent. The city came out, they walked it, they got something a little over 300 feet as well. They approved the local consent. Then we went to the DABC, and a rep from the DABC came out, walked it, got something like a little over 300. And when it came time to actually issue us a conditional license for a full restaurant, full service, they were really scared to sign off because we're so close to 300 feet. And this ended with us having to hire a surveyor. We actually have that document. I think we're going to frame it and try to do something with it.
Oh, you probably should. Yeah.
We should.
The document states that we are 302 feet plus or minus 6 inches from the corner of the tabernacle, signed by a surveyor. And they were still a little hesitant to approve that, and they took it to Attorney General Reyes. And he said, is it over 300 feet? They said, yes. They said, well, then approve it. So we will have a 302 Pilsner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And Rob has an idea on the front of the front of the building.
I want to paint a line at 300 feet right outside our front door. You know, a nice red line for our Prodigy colors. You know, put it right outside the front door so you know as soon as you step over the line.
Oh, yeah. That's just like,
right? We made it. We're here.
Oh, you can put that placard, put it in the cement and just write that surveyor line right there. Oh, man, that's so cool, guys.
You should do something like, you know, maybe a Hollywood sign that goes in the concrete.
Like a star? Yeah. You know, a star right there. A big P. Not a star. There you go. Prodigy P.
Yeah.
I like that.
Man, you guys have cool ideas. I like this. But you guys passed. So you guys were, you're past 300 feet and you guys have the view of the tabernacle. That's pretty cool. And the mountains. So, hey, look at you guys.
Scoring real big. That's great.
That's cool. Any other complications? Because when was that conceived? When did this actually hey, we're opening a brewery?
We signed an intent to lease this space in November of 2019.
Yeah.
So then the world ended. Is that what the hiccup was? Is that a huge hiccup?
I don't think it slowed everything down for sure. You know, there's all kinds of supply chain labor, but the building is 123 years old. Wow. So the owner, Tony Johnson, you know, it would have been easier for him to tear the building down and build new, but he didn't want to do that. So as they got into it, they realized the building had to have structural and seismic upgrades. And that whole process to get all that signed off with the engineers just takes a long time.
I bet.
You know, and we had to go in with 53-foot beams in 6 different spots in the building, you know, for the structural upgrades. And that, you know, the logistics of it just takes a while to get it done.
Yeah.
But it kind of looks cool right behind you, that giant iron X.
It really does.
Yeah. Wrist case.
And I like the fact that you guys can see above your brew house. That's kind of, I told you guys what you should do, and I think you should do it.
I like it. I don't think Kristen heard your idea.
So, you can see, there's a lot of breweries that you can see over, like, especially Hopkins. You can see right over the brew house. And they just put, like, you know how when you go to the zoo, you have little food pellets, or, you know, put quarter in there and then you throw candy or whatever. Uh-huh. Like, you should do it for the brewers. Like, feed the brewers. Like,
oh,
put,
I love that.
Put some pretzels.
That's a great idea.
Or some chocolates or whatever. What's your favorite candy, Jason?
I'll eat any of it.
Sure. So, you know, some M&M's, like, eh, see if you can hit him. You know? And then he's like, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, thank God. And then he just, you know? I think it's a great idea.
I love
some
it.
Fun size Kit Kats. Yeah, like, whatever it is. That. But that's why you have.
You got to keep the brewers. He's going to get bugged.
Because there's no way he's not going to be like, hey, what you doing down there, buddy? Because you're going to smell it. You're going to see it. And people love to see what happens when this, why is there steam? What's going on? And you know, I just like saying, I'm making cereal.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the smell, because when we did get approved, I heard through the grapevine, I don't have any evidence of this, that in Providence, just south of here in Logan, in a town hall meeting, that a person made the comment, this is just great. Now Logan's going to smell like beer all the time. And we all laughed and thought, well, they clearly don't know much about the brewing process.
It smells like yummy bread or, like you said, cereal. Like, cereal? It smells so good.
It smells like cereal, or some people say, like a farm, almost, in a good way. Like, you know how you go in there, it's just like that nice hay scent and the smell, right? The grain smell. I like that. You know, it's not like a horse manure, pig blink. Yeah, it's a good, like, I'm home. Yeah. You know, I love that. And I gave, you guys have talked about this afterwards, but I gave Kristen a little brewer secret. So you are brewing, I have a little secret for you guys. We'll talk about that in a minute. What's some ideas when it comes to Logan? Are you guys going to be a production brewery at all? Is that... Are we jumping too ahead of ourselves, or are we just getting our feet wet? Or is there an idea of being a, like, are we bottling, canning, and sending it out past Logan?
There's an idea.
Yeah?
Yes.
What's the reality behind that, you think?
Oh, I think it's going to happen. I think we just need to start slow. We don't want to get too big too fast. Mm-hmm. We don't want to, you know, what is that saying? Run before you walk or something like that.
Run before you walk, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Growth is a fantastic thing, but you can grow yourself too quickly and run out of money. Mm. So we need to get operating profitable just at the brew pub location, and then we'll consider distribution outside of just a few places here in Logan.
When it comes to merchandise and spreading the good word of the Prodigy name, actually, I want to go there. What is why the word Prodigy? What's the idea behind that? Rob, why I have no idea why you said Prodigy.
I think every one of our owners, you know, does something in there, because we've all got day jobs. None of us quit our day jobs to do this. This has all been on the side. You know, Jason's a finance professor. You know, Kristen works marketing. He's account executive at her job. Our other owner, he's a dentist. You know, I'm an airline pilot. So we have people that have done.
That's why you and Carson get along.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. We bonded over that. He just got a new airplane too.
God.
So, we have to name all our firm in or something. You know, we thought, well, what are we going to do, you know? And we came up, you know, with Prodigy and, you know, all the Prodigies that are out there, Da Vinci, Nietzsche, all those. And we thought it was a great idea. It sounds really good. We loved it.
I like it.
We also think that beer education is important. I mean, you were talking earlier about, like, the process, right? You talk to people about the process. But I think it's amazing. And I think expanding people's palates with different beers and teaching them about the brewing process and all of that's super cool. So we kind of went, and education is a founding piece of our company. So we felt like Prodigy was a good fit.
Now, what I say here is on the podcast is, when knowledge increases, behavior changes.
Mm-hmm.
So
love it.
Yeah, I love that.
Straight up. What are you guys doing? Well, let me teach you, right? Yeah. So it doesn't bother me when someone comes in, as friends or someone in the community or whatever comes, well, I'm brewing. Like, what are you doing? Like, as long as I'm able to do it, I'm not bothered. And I'm like, yeah, I'll show you anything. You know, a lot of people tend to show up when I'm knocking out, which is kind of like I'm trying to do a lot of things at once. But besides that, like, I'm okay with, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And I love explaining it. And the look of awe on their face of, like, oh, shit, that's really cool, right?
Yeah.
And I've given tours hundreds of times, but it still excites me. You know, whether if they're really into it, like, what is this? And they're like, oh, shit, that's what it is. Because people, they may drink beer, but they have no idea of how it's made or how it's done. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that show back in the day, How It's Made? Like, how's a light bulb made? I don't fucking know.
Right.
But once you see, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, how are these cups made? I don't know how Red Solo cups are made. You know, what the hell? Right? And so I like the fact that you guys have it where you're going to have it downstairs where you guys have it right in the brew house and people can sit there and watch you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of breweries in Utah where they're watched, and it's just fascinating. You sit there, it's like, sometimes you feel like, I feel like a zoo sometimes, because you see at both locations I have windows that just people are just sitting there just looking at you, and you kind of feel awkward sometimes. Because, or like, there's one time where I've had the hose like spray back at me when people are watching, and I'm like, oh shit, someone just watched that. But you know, it's a refreshing shower, right?
Yeah. I think when we were searching for our vision, we also thought, you know, we've been enjoying brewpubs since the mid-90s. You know, so a long, long time. And when brewpubs first came around, honestly, the average brewpub had mediocre food, a mediocre beer. Those days are gone now. Successful brewpubs have both great food and great beer. Mm. And you can't do these things without paying attention to details and being careful in your processes.
So what's it like coming from, you guys are in the Midwest, East Coast-ish, right? What's it like having the beer scene out there and then coming to Utah? Which I want to see your guys' opinion about Utah beer.
The positive thing is Utah has the best 5% beers I've ever had. We're really good at that in the state.
I hate that I can't
get a barley wine and a snifter on draft. It's just annoying.
Draft beers are...
It's annoying.
And I think... Give it time. You know, the laws are going to change. It's going to make it easier. But where I live, just outside Chicago, I'm close to Founders. I'm really close to Bell. Ooh. You know, I'm
Three Floyds.
Three Floyds is, you know, 25 minutes from my house. So, you know, I have a selection. Every time I come out, I got to bring him something. You know, So I would love to see that here. I would love to see, you know.
But I think there are so many breweries here in Utah doing an amazing job.
They really are.
Like, I mean, so when we started, Jason mentioned, you know, we used to vacation out here. So when we started first coming to Utah, it was Squatters, really. Like, that was it. And Squatters is amazing. But since then, there are breweries everywhere, brew pubs. And I think Utah brewers are underrated for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's got their own niche. They're all doing amazing things.
And we have a lot of awards here in Utah. Yeah. We are an award-winning state.
Yeah.
Like we take medals home every time we go to a big competition.
Yeah.
That's not something like that.
I think we are...
Can you say that, Hawaii?
Yeah.
Alaska? I'm just naming a couple. I don't have no idea.
Somebody's going to contact you and be like, hell yes, I can.
Have you heard of Kona Brewing?
Excuse me?
You. Yeah, it's fine. But that's why I think it's fascinating, because before 2019, we had to make 4% beer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like that jump, like it was ridiculous that we have 1% difference, and it just makes that much difference in the beer. And you know, it's just like, gives us that much more freedom. And it's like, finally. So we were making award-winning beer at 4%.
Right.
Now that's at 5%. We're still making award-winning beer. It's just tough, right? And you're right. I would like to have a barley wine or an IPA. And I think if the state's worried about us, you know, getting intoxicated too fast, then limit, like ciders. I can pour a 23% ABV cider on draft, but it's limited to a 5-ounce pour. Okay. That's 23%. That would knock me on my ass.
You should have a small amount of
that. So if you're so worried about Utah, then have a 7% IPA and limit my guests to a 5-ounce pour.
Right.
But at least I can make, now I can brew a 7% and put it in my tank instead of bottling it all off and then selling it. It saves me, and I can now give you my draft on tap.
Because it is just that much better on draft.
It is.
Just that much better.
The experience is amazing.
It's just that much better.
And I think you're right. And glassware makes a difference.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. Rob and Kristen have been pushing for us to do this for a while. And one of my big hesitations was the 4%. I mean, 5% is a lot better than 4.
Right.
And the styles we can correctly make here in the state.
Yeah.
And again, the brewers here in the state did an amazing job at 4, but the 5% got me more on board with jumping into the game.
So I'm sensing you were more hesitant on jumping in this than they were.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
But you're the brewer, so you have to kind of be picky about that. So that's okay.
And he's the finance guy. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. So
you're that guy.
Yeah, he's that guy. Yeah.
I like to say I'm a whole lot of fun in the realm of finance people. So I'm overall, that might make me a pretty boring person, but
I don't think so.
The finance group.
See, you have traits that I wish I had. I don't know finances. I just do. That's why I have my wife, because she does finance. She's really guru at that, right? You got to have that balance. It goes back to the balance. We had the conversation earlier.
Yep.
It's all about balance.
Yep.
One last question before we go to break. Do you guys think Logan is ready for a brew pub?
Absolutely.
100%.
Why is that? I want to know each of you. I know why you got think that Logan needs to go first.
Who gets to go first?
Kristen, let's start with you.
Oh, okay. So one, I think the community is changing. The dynamics of the community is a lot different than it was 10 years ago. Just like everywhere in Utah, the, you know, people have been coming from other places. And I go back to, I think communities this size should have a brew pub. I think, and Jason mentioned, you know, with brew pubs comes amazing food. Our executive chef, I mean, we tasted his pizza yesterday. He made it just in an uni oven because you've seen our kitchen. It's not ready yet.
It looks ready. It looks 100% ready.
But, oh my gosh, it was so good. So, like, having that pizza and the beer, oh, it's going to be so good.
It's a pairing. Yeah.
It's everyone's, experience. Everyone's
you guys are
ready.
Creating an experience for Logan. Yeah. They're ready for it.
They're ready.
I like that.
So I would say that, you know, for 15 years, we've heard of people talking about wanting a brew pub in Logan. But there were too many roadblocks and they couldn't get past them. So, you know, beginning this process has put, and I don't usually feel a lot of pressure, but so many people are excited about this. I feel some pressure to get it right. And I tell people that not only do I think Logan's ready for a brew pub, I think we have between 2 to 5 years and there will be 2 to 3 in Cache Valley.
2 to 5 years.
2 to 5 years. Yes. I know of a big one in Salt Lake City that was looking for a spot 5 or 6 blocks from here. They got shut down in that proposal being too close to a school. But people are interested. It's coming.
So on that question, I want to ask a question based off that. Would you welcome competition? I do that
absolutely.
In air quotes.
Oh, for
but
sure.
Do you see it as competition?
No. Not in the beginning. Mm-mm. No.
Why is that? Because most states or places, I think, would. But why is Utah kind of different about that?
Beer is community. Beer is people bringing people together.
I like
so
that.
So right brother. Now, we only have one. I think if we get 2 or 3, there'll be some collaboration. There'll
yeah,
be some
can you
community
imagine what
feel.
We could do
a
with
a Logan collaboration
right?
beer? Oh, yeah, never thought of it.
I think it'll right now we need bars and brew pubs and places like this so
great
badly in this
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
this town that right now adding an additional one just brings more people downtown. Yep. Man, it's a good place to be in, actually.
Rob, beat that. You know, I said, God damn.
You know, given Utah is a very religious state, whenever we pulled the trigger on this, the support we got from the local government.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. I mean, I'm in Indiana, Matt's in Kentucky, and whenever it went public and went out, the mayor, this is in the middle of COVID, she got us all on the phone in a Zoom call, and she's like, you know, what can we do to help? This is so awesome. We've been
that's
needing
really,
this.
And she's a non-drinker, you said?
She's a non-drinker, mm-hmm. but she realized the community needs it.
That's really cool, because that's where you separate, you know, personal beliefs and like what the community needs. That's a good fucking mayor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's great.
She's great. Shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And, you know, she wants to revitalize the downtown back to the way it was. We have, you know, there's a theater right across the street. You know, there's one right around the corner. It's a very artsy area, and she wants to revitalize it into a walking downtown on the weekends.
Yeah.
And she sees a brew pub as part of that vision.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
You just pulled up today. You see the street we're on in this downtown. It's
I liked it.
It should be like Ogden. There should be people out and about. Yeah, there should
right.
be things to
and
do.
And there are.
Well, and we're trying to encourage more of that.
When I pulled in, I'm like, oh, I kind of want to walk this right now. And I did. I was here a little early. I'm like, kind of walked. I'm like, this is nice. And like that. That brought, I was here for the first time in probably, 5 years, 6 years, and that feeling of like, oh, all right, Logan.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So you guys are going to bring that ambiance to it, and I like that.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, my friends, we're going to take a quick little break, or we're going to refuel and come back. Is that all right?
Sounds great.
Cheers. A quick shout out to one of our most supportive sponsors, Hopkins Brewing Company. Located within the heart of Sugar House at 1048 East, 2100 South in Salt Lake, Hopkins has a wide variety of awesomeness, such as trivia nights on Tuesdays, incredible local live jazz Wednesday and Thursday nights, small batch beers on Friday, made by a local legend of a brewer, Matt Yeager, and brunch on the weekends. Hopkins is the place to be. They got awesome swag. You gotta go. All their food and beers made from scratch with local and sustainable ingredients. While visiting Hopkins and upon checkout, use the code TASTEMASTERS to receive 15% off your ticket order, excluding alcohol, of course. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to receive 15% off one of the hottest spots in Utah. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local breweries. All right, friends, we're back. So I'm still sitting here in Prodigy Brewing. We have the brewery's ready to go, right? We have everything set up.
It's ready.
And we're going to start brewing. Hopefully this week beer will come out. Pale Ale will be the first one. And you have an assistant, right, Jason? His name is Ben?
Ben Fairbank, yes.
And where did you find Ben? I want to know about this.
Here in Logan. Ben was a home brewer. We figured we'd just mentor him along. He's been home brewing. He's extremely creative, diligent, careful. He comes from a welding and mechanical background, so he also adds a lot to the brewery. Yeah, no, he did offer to give me money if I said
nice things about him. The financial guy, it makes sense.
He's like, I'll clean tanks, I'll mop the floor, I'll do whatever you want.
So did he approach you or did you find him?
He totally approached us.
Yeah.
He actually, so I know in the break, Rob mentioned we've become a little family. We hang out with the wives. And I mean, I am the only female right now representing Prodigy Brewing. So that needs to change.
Speaking of, are you part of Pink Boots?
Yes, I am.
Good job, Kristen.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
But so we do have wives, girlfriends hang out too. So we've gotten to know them, their kids, and Ben's wife saw that we were opening a brew pub in Logan. And she said, Ben, you're not a big fan of your job right now. You love brewing. You should reach out. And he was nervous. And actually, Jason asked him to meet him in his office at the university, which is so rude.
Intimidating.
It's so rude. Yeah. So intimidating.
We'll get to that in a second, Jason.
But yeah, so he totally reached out. And like Rob said, he was like, I'll mop the floors. I'll clean tanks. I'll do whatever. I just want to learn more, be a part of it. And so, yeah, it was all him. Wow. And we were like... Actually, Rob interviewed Ben first,
Jason did. No, I did.
You did it first.
I interviewed him first.
Yeah. Oh, you interviewed him
and
first.
And I was actually...
In my office.
Okay. I thought that was second.
In Indiana, I was driving to Chicago, going to the airport, and Jason's like, hey, give this guy a call. Tell me what you think. So I talked to Ben for an hour and 15 minutes from when I left my house in Indiana before I got to O'Hare, and we just talked the whole way. Mm-hmm. I was super comfortable with him. Smart guy, creative. Mechanical side, he's a certified welder. I mean, he's just got
skills. Did make a beer from logs. This past fall. Yeah, right?
He went outside, grabbed a log, and threw it in the...
Well, not quite exactly. So Ben and I are like yin and yang. So I like to do traditional things really carefully and well without being too extreme. Ben's like, yeah, let's... play with this. Let's do this. And he took a log he had at his house and he sanded it, got it all kind of cleaned, left it set outside for a month, made a batch of beer, and tossed the log in to ferment it.
It was really good.
And I was like, Ben, that beer is going to taste like shit. I'm convinced that's going to be an absolutely shitty beer. And he's like, well, if it is, we'll throw it out. It was a pretty damn good beer.
Yeah.
I was completely
wrong.
What was
the wrong. Base beer?
I don't even remember what it was at this point. It's been a year.
Yeah, it was,
close to a year.
Log beer. So are we going to bring that on tap one of these days? Log beer?
So how do you do that?
I don't know.
No, you can because he did capture the yeast.
Yeah. And isolate it.
He captured and isolated the yeast. And there's a company you can send it out to and they'll propagate it and ship it back to you. Your own yeast. Yeah.
So it's going to be like a Philly sour kind of technique. Yeah, but
of course, it's a sour, right?
Logan log.
He just took a log and tossed it in
beer. Logan log. I love it.
Yeah.
The log.
I like it.
I get it.
Man. Yeah, I like that.
That's really cool. I mean, I feel like I have a lot of creative freedom, but I have never once thought, I'm going to put a log in a beer.
Right?
I mean, I guess we put spruce tips in there. That's the closest I can get, right?
He did one recently with hibiscus.
Great.
And it turned out amazing.
So, Jason, what's that mean for you to break that traditional hell-bent to make true-to-style kind of thing?
I am fully aware that if we just make beers that I like, we will not be successful.
Again, the finance guy.
Yeah. No. So, I love it. I love his creativity and his energy he brings.
Good. And I think that's needed. Clearly. Yeah, that's awesome. He's been a brewer, so he's been a professional brewer. This is his first professional brewing job there.
Absolutely.
Oh, mm-hmm. Cool. That's really, you guys can groom him to how you'd like, and he'll bring experience and he'll bring his passion. And that's what I like, is I like passion, because passion brings something you can't teach experience. It's something, it's just, you can't put a label on that. It's just,
you can't.
Yeah. So we're going to go back to some questions if you guys don't mind, all right?
Sounds good.
So on your website, I'm curious, looking at it a couple months ago, seeing that you guys have beers posted on the website, what's that about? You're making beers, you're posting beers, post beers in-house. What was that? You have a couple of them there, like White Snow or Yellow Snow. Yeah, what were those beers?
So those are just, I mean, those are recipes, obviously not been brewed yet, but
they are the ones we will start
they're
with.
They're the ones we're going to start with. Yeah.
So that means you will be bottling then because some of them are High Points, right?
Yeah, we have a canning line.
Oh, sick. Okay. So these beers are posted and it's for us to get hot and bothered.
Excited.
So when it, okay. Gotcha. I'm like, how are you guys brewing? You haven't brewed yet. I'm so confused. Yeah. Gotcha. So then with the website, you're going to have merchandise, right? Because you got a merchandise section. What kind of merchandise are we looking at here at Prodigy Brewing?
Oh boy. So we love, everyone has loved so far, the Silly Pint glasses. They're like the plastic silicone, right? We have a bunch of dog bowls. Because
dog
we
bowls?
Are going to be pet friendly on the patio. So we've got dog bowls. We've got a lot of hats, sweatshirts, t-shirts. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah. So we got that going on. And then we have... You're not going to be production, maybe production one day, but we're going to send beer out. Hopefully, beer festivals will be going to. What's the closest and first beer festival you guys will think you'll be going to here soon?
So the first one is the Brewstillery event.
So that one's coming up, like the one coming up?
In like June 18th. Which, by the way, I said it was the doer of things, right? So do lots of different things. I got confused because the Brewstillery event's in June, but they're April. Their beer issue was April. So we have an ad in that April issue that looks like we're open. And yesterday we had our first person come in and say, oh my gosh, you're not open. That's so sad. I saw you in Slug Magazine.
Oh, damn.
I was like, oh, please come back.
Yeah.
So yeah.
God damn. Yeah. That's oof. Gotcha. But then is this your guys' first Brewstillery then?
Yeah.
Ever? Mm-hmm. Even as a attendee?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You guys just pumped?
Oh, so excited.
So excited.
Oh, so excited.
So if you guys need help, all you got to do is reach out in this community. That's the cool thing about being part of this community is if you guys need help, especially like Carson or anyone else in Ogden, closer to you guys, or even all the way down to the strap tank where I'm at, like wherever you guys need help, all you got to do is ask and you guys will
Love
have
that.
It. Yeah.
Love
you
that.
Guys will have a good time. What's some goals we have, not just opening, but when we open this year, 2022, what are some goals you want to finish this year off strong?
Part of our main principles are we want to have great food, great beer, and we want to be the community's place. When we think of beer, we think of community and interaction. So we want to be the place in town when people say, let's go get a beer. They're talking about going to Prodigy. Mm. We want to be that place.
I like that.
And driving that obviously is, you know, careful diligence in the beer brewing process. Executive chef, and Kristen, I'll let you talk about some of the things you've come up with for engaging in the community.
Yeah. You got a fresh community to break into.
So Jason's right. Brew pubs are the heart of the community. So, I think that one of the things we really want to do is have a meaningful impact in the community. So, I mentioned the CBC, right?
Yes.
I totally started fangirling over Creature Comforts Brewing in, they're in Athens, Georgia. They do an amazing job of, being super meaningful in the community. And so I'm kind of doing a little modeling after them, talking to people in our community and where the biggest needs are and trying to figure out how to be most helpful because it's important. It's so important in our community
like that,
to be helpful.
Yeah. So you guys will be not just a brew pub, but Logan's brew pub. Like you'll be
exactly
the Logan spot for Logan. Of Logan. That's really cool.
Yep.
Rob, what's some goals in 2022 that you have? Do you want to end the year strong with? Besides being open. We all know we want to open.
So,
oh my gosh.
Obviously being open, but I also want us to get to the point where we have the processes down, we're running smoothly, and we've worked the wrinkles out in the operation. Because we're going to have a ton of wrinkles. We're going to run into mistakes. We're going to make errors. Learn from them. Fix them, get a very consistent product where everybody can come, you know, and enjoy it and enjoy the same thing. You know, we're coming up 6 months left in the year almost. So I think it's kind of a big goal to try to iron those out. And I would just like to get that process down.
I like that a lot. You guys mentioned it's going to have dog friendly. Is it going to be family friendly here at Prodigy Brewing?
Family friendly first.
I like that.
Absolutely.
So how are you going to combat that with the... university college kid aspect. Is that going to be kind of a combative thing, or do you think it's going to be complimentary?
No, I think it's complimentary.
Complimentary.
For sure.
So?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know this. I know for a fact BYU drinkers out loud aren't, or BYU students aren't drinkers out loud.
I was like, wait, what?
UVU students are drinkers. Utah, University of Utah seem to be drinkers. So what's the, are Utah State University students drinkers?
Certainly less than the University of Utah, but there are quite a few that drink.
So it's between BYU and Utah?
Yeah, say? We're some middle ground.
So. Okay, yeah. So do you think that Prodigy Brewing, are you guys going to focus on the university a little bit, kind of bring that clientele? Or is that, Jason, I'm just going to ask you straight up, is that kind of a conflict of interest when you work for a university, but you're going to be supplying alcohol for your students? How's that going
to
work?
As much as I'd like to, I'm not gonna be going into class with an advertisement and a discount for
you're
Prodigy
not wear
Brewing.
A shirt? Also, it's like,
I might wear a shirt if I want.
Jason's got a big old Prodigy P on his shirt. Just walk in.
So I will not engage in that conflict and have any direct persuasion of students to come down to Prodigy Brewing.
Would that be interesting if one of your students came in and saw you brewing? Is that going to be an interesting conversation, or does that really bother you?
It doesn't bother me at all. This semester, I taught a master's class in corporate finance. I mentioned to you earlier that we actually own a bar that happened kind of happenstance during this process. And those students had to pitch projects Shark Tank style. They had to develop them from beginning to end. And during that time, I brought them down here and to the other place and walked them through, talked about, you know, what goes into putting something together.
Oh, awesome.
So I engaged them in the process.
Life experience.
I use this as a real world classroom benefit.
Mm.
So I don't see anything negative in it.
Gotcha.
It's all just positive.
I just have this idea because Utah's so finicky. I just don't want this to be like a, you know, someone's like, hey, you're a professor. You should know better. Like, I'm making beer. Like this, I don't know. I feel like Utah's going to somehow twist that.
Well, the reality is USU is trying to bring, there are some professors trying to bring a brewery education.
Get out of here.
Like,
would you like teach that class if that's even an option?
I would be part of it since we're not open yet. The person I know involved in this is working with Kevin at TF Brewing,
mm-hmm.
And another Salt Lake brewery as well. But he knows that I'm interested in also being part. So they would like to get a brewing,
that'd be
call
cool.
It a minor or a certificate, sure. Or something. We have a very robust food science department.
Yeah.
Right now they do some amazing cheeses and chocolates, and the university's open to expanding that to brewing.
I don't think there's anywhere else in the state that does that. Brewing class?
I don't think so.
Not in Utah. I don't think
Get out of here. Utah State would be the first.
I'm not sure it would be as much focused on the brewing class as it would be quality assurance, quality control, the science behind fermentation.
Ah, so we can get kombucha and sake and all that cool stuff. Cider.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think so.
So another question for you guys moving on from this is favorite breweries in Utah? I want to ask this question. You guys have been here for some time. I know, Rob, you come here and visit. What's some favorite breweries that stick out to you guys? What's some places that you're just like, fuck yeah. If you were to bring people from out of state, where are we going to try some breweries in Utah? Kristen, we'll start with you.
Ugh. I feel like it's kind of like picking your children, right?
I'm not really sure. You can name like five. They don't got to be in order.
So first of all, I have never been to Strap Tank, but you were so gracious to bring us beer today.
And I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm going to go.
Plead the fifth. My grounds might incriminate me.
Amazing beers. You guys, phenomenal.
Thank you.
Everything's been so delicious. So I have not been, but I'm going to go.
Okay. Got two locations, Lehigh, Springville.
Okay, done.
They're south of Salt Lake.
I did have to ask where Springville is.
Yeah, that's pretty far.
So Utah's great. Epic. Oh my gosh. Like they're Brainless Belgium. Mm.
Oh yeah.
Oof, so good. I like TF Brewing. I like Fisher's. I like Hopkins. I don't know.
There's
Level
so
Crossing.
Many. Yeah.
There's so many. There's so many.
Grid City's fantastic.
Grid City's so good. Like I can't. Yeah.
They do great.
What about some distilleries you guys like or kombucha places? I mean, is there anything else you guys can think of? Like the community, you're like, oh, I love that place. They're doing good things.
I haven't been to any. Have we been to any
distilleries?
Just High West.
Down in Park City, High West.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we went to High
West. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Did you guys go to Wanchaberry or the Saloon in Park City?
The Saloon.
Saloon's just that. It's got the ambiance that you just can't beat.
So yeah. I think that's kind of like the next wave is going to be distilling.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope that and cider, to be honest with you. I really do. I think cider is a great alternative to non-beer drinkers, but you still get that fermentation and that alcohol kind of funness to it.
So
now that you guys are part of the community, outside of Logan, what impact do you guys want to make on the Utah beer scene?
Damn. I think we have big shoes to fill. I don't know. That's
feels a little intimidating.
Yeah, that question was kind of scary. I think we'd like to
start off.
My bad.
building up to doing some great things here in Logan, and then reassess and see, you know, exactly where we're going. You know, Rob talked about getting the wrinkles ironed out. I remember Carson saying, "No judgment for 90 days. You get 90 days. I won't judge your beer, your food, anything. I'll come up. I'll participate, but you get 90 days to kind of get it under you." So I don't know. I feel like Kristen's right. It feels intimidating to me to think about. The Utah.
I mean,
beer
again,
scene.
There are like so many great breweries in Utah. So it's, I don't know.
Well, my advice,
like even just to be a part of it is really amazing.
I was going
like
to say, if we're just a part of that community and integrating into it,
again, my advice or my two cents, if I will, is the fact that you guys are trying and you guys are passionate, that's all you need. That's all you need. And you guys are, sure, 90 days, whatever. That's a cool, you know, I like that. But as long as you guys know, you want to make good beer, good product, and a good experience for people. That's what's going to matter. And that's what the community is about. It doesn't matter if you're 17 years old, 20 years old, 100 years old, 1 year old, 2 months old. As long as you guys are leading with all that, you'll be fine. Just don't be an asshole. Yeah. At the end of the day, right? You guys will be
fine. We're going to make stickers up. Just don't be an asshole.
Just don't be an asshole. Well, I think Bewilder on their coaster says, "Use a coaster, you fuck," or something like that. So you guys can use, like, "Don't be an asshole."
So that was yesterday.
I would love that, but I don't think you can pull that off in Cache Valley, Utah.
Yet.
We get ourselves
in trouble.
You guys
are pouring beer in Cache Valley next to a church tabernacle, so maybe you guys can.
So yeah, yesterday, the whole coaster, you know, we were doing a photo shoot, and the bar's not been sealed yet. So Kristen's like, "Don't put that shit on my bar."
I'm literally walking
around. She's walking around going, don't do it. Yeah.
But it's just so funny to me because people, it says that if you really look at the fine print, I'm like, I wonder how people see this.
I'm going to have to look.
We'll have to bring you some because it's pretty funny. What's something, taking on a brewery, what's something, if someone else were going to open a brewery in Utah, what's some advice you'd give to some new brewery openers?
It's going to take more time, more effort, and more money than you originally planned. To get everything figured out. It's a process. I would also discourage, unless you've worked as a professional brewer for decades or something, you know, like Kevin at TF or something like this, unless you've done that, probably stick with a company that's going to help facilitate that process. Even with our 15 years of home brewing, I feel like we would have just had so many mistakes if we tried to piece together different components from different places, having not done it. So I would say pay attention to your time, your effort, your cost. And if you don't have that experience, make sure you stay with a company that's going to help guide you through the process.
I like that. At the end of the day, Rob, what do you want Prodigy Brewing to stand for?
Community. Definitely. And you mean I want Prodigy, I want everybody to think of us as part of the community. You know, not just the drinking of the alcohol or the beer. You know, I wanted to be a place where everybody can come and enjoy themselves, you know, and socialize, you know, with friends. That's like kind of like my vision.
Yeah. I mean, that should be it. I mean, that's a good say for Prodigy. Kristen, what excites you in the morning about Prodigy Brewing?
Oh, gosh. I think right now
it's probably stressful at the same time, too.
It's so stressful. But I think right now it's just the possibilities. So I am not the technical person. So I'm not downstairs working on fermenters and the boiler and all of the piping and all that stuff. So there are times when it's a day or two between times I am actually physically here. Mm. So I get super excited, like just seeing the process in a couple of days and like what's happened. So that's really exciting. That's really exciting.
So what can you do to give that excitement to your community?
Oh, well, we're still trying to just share. I do lots of Instagram stories and like what's going on and, you know, just kind of doing plugs to keep people updated.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, I feel like we've been saying it's coming soon. And so now it actually is coming. Like it's going to be soon.
We got the DABC's approval today.
We got the blessing of the DABC today. So like, it's so exciting. So I actually can't wait to share that news on social media this afternoon.
I'm excited for you
guys. I'm excited for that.
That's so rad.
Yeah.
You guys are so rad. You guys are so cool. I love the potential you guys have here. This spot is going to be killer. I think Logan does deserve this and does need this. You guys are the pushing frontier. You guys are the pioneers of the brewing scene here in Logan. And that's something to be very proud of. Whether you feel intimidated within this community or not, don't feel intimidated. I'm telling you right now, this is so exciting. I'm speaking from people down south from you guys. Like, we're fucking pumped for you guys. And whatever you guys need, I promise you, in this community, if you need something, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is reach out or ask someone in the community that can ask someone to ask someone to ask someone, because we all got your back. So whatever it takes, I know it's going to take extra money, time, effort, patience. You got this. Make it happen. Make that vision come true, because at the end of the day, it'll be worth it, guys. So promise me that. You will do that. Don't let go. And I will see you guys fucking opening day.
Sounds amazing. Thank you so much for having us. So much.
Is there anything else I can do for you guys before we leave today?
No, this has been so great. This has been fantastic.
It's been great. Just sitting down chatting.
I guess we'll do another one when you guys open. That's fine.
That would be awesome.
We could do that. A year review.
I like it.
But on that note, guys, until the next beverage, my friends. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.